23, where we were reading about what happened to Paul when he stood before this council. And from verse 12, the Bible makes us to understand that Acts chapter 23, verse 12. The next morning, some Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. When I was reading this scripture again tonight, I just thought, what was Paul's sin, actually? What did Paul do that 40 men did not have any job to do but than to decide that they were going to kill him? And what just came to my mind was that most of the time we're just sitting down somewhere, minding our own business, you know, doing our own things, serving the Lord in whatever way we can, in the little way that we can, you know, being faithful to God. But the enemy just doesn't like you. It's not because of anything that you've done. It's because of what you stand for. It's because of who you are. And the grammar is correct. It's because of whose you are. You are of God. You are a child of God. So it does not matter. There's no point in pissing the devil, okay? Because as long as you're on the side of the Lord, it will try to attack you. So, you know, this doctrine that says that, oh, if things are not working well for you, that means you've done something wrong. It's not completely right. No. In fact, if things are not working for you, can I submit that? It probably means you are doing everything right, but the enemy is not happy with you. Because look at Paul. What did Paul do? Paul was just going around, minding his own business, you know, whatever he did before now, you know, to turn people away from God. But he had an encounter with Jesus, turned his life around, and is now going around preaching about Christ. And 40 people, while Paul was, you know, evangelizing and winning souls to the Lord, 40 people decided that they just didn't like him. They didn't like what he was doing. So they were going to kill him. So you see, tonight, when we are talking about enemies, I don't want you to look at your family member. I don't want you to look at your boss at work. I don't want you to look at that person in that village. No. Whatever the person is doing, the person is doing it because the spirit of the devil has entered the person. It's clear and simple. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You're not wrestling against human beings. You're wrestling against principalities and powers. So whatever these 40 guys decided to do here, you know, the enemy entered into them. The spirit of the devil came upon them. And they were fasting. They were fasting to kill someone. They fasted and took an oath that until we kill Paul, we will neither drink nor eat. So tonight, I just want us to be encouraged that whatever we're going through, God is on our side. God is with us. Hallelujah. God is going to see us through it. But we must never leave God's side, okay? Because you might think, oh, nothing is happening to me right now. But God forbid, just try and leave the cover of Jehovah. Just try and leave Jesus' cover. Then you know that the Lord is protecting you from a lot of things, from a lot of trouble. And that is why all these things that are happening to you. Just because you are on the Lord's side. And the aim of Satan is to attack your faith. So at the point which Satan, you know, things are happening, you are still saying the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to continue to serve God. I'm going to carry on. At that point, you still are very strong. But then after some time, you start to become weak. It's natural. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I said tonight that we should ask God for strength. Because so many times we try to do things our own way and we fail. And we are frustrated and we are wondering why things are not happening. But it's because we are relying on our own strength. You know, but at this point in time, sometimes you're so down that, you know, And at that point, if you're not careful, if you leave the fellowship, if you leave the presence of the Lord, if you stop doing the things you've done for years, then the enemy attacks. And once it gets you to that point of denying all that you've ever believed in, then you're gone. And that's what Satan is after, your faith. It's not after your health. It's not after your money. It's not after your possessions. You know, if that were the case, look at Job, okay? So when the enemy asked for the permission of God to attack Job, took his children, took his business. So if the enemy was after business or children, he would have stopped, wouldn't he? He took all those things from Job, right? And at the point, after some point, he still went back to God. Even after Job had lost his children, he's lost his business, he's lost his wealth, he's lost everything. Even after that, Satan still went back to God and said, Job is still maintaining his integrity. He's still maintaining his integrity. You have to do something. And the aim of Satan was to get Job to the point where he would deny God completely. And God's cover. What did Satan say? He said it's because you have built an edge around him. And what Satan is after is that edge. Is that edge that is around you. Once that edge is removed, you are exposed. Once that edge that God has put around us is removed, then he can strike. That's what he's after. And so that was why he could go back to God and say, strike him, because he thought if, after everything Job had lost, he was still maintaining his integrity with God, let me take away his health. If I do that, then he will curse God. Even his wife told him, said, curse God and die. So that's what the enemy is after, your faith. So you must realize it, that the strategies of Satan is always the same. It's always the same. It's when you look him in the face or whatever, and you tell principalities and powers that irrespective of whatever happens, even if this thing that I'm believing God for, I do not get it, I will still serve God. At that point, Satan knows he has lost. And that normally is the turning point where God turns everything around, just like he did with Job. You know, people came to him and were saying, the three friends came and they were saying whatever they said. So I just wanted to put that in tonight. So for whatever reason, which we know is the enemy that was inspiring these people to attack Paul, they did what they wanted to do, but God, in his own infinite mercy, he exposed them. And he just, isn't God awesome? He just allowed that Paul's nephew would just be nearby. No, he just allowed it. That where they were doing whatever conspiracy they were doing was not far from where Paul's nephew was. So he was able to hear, because if Paul's nephew did not hear, and that's this edge that we're talking about, that's the protection of God. Because God made it in a way that the nephew heard. Not only did the nephew hear, when he went to go, he told his uncle what had happened. So Paul told him, go to the captain of the guards and tell them what you've heard. And for whatever reason, which we know is God's in action, this guy did not let everybody know what the nephew told him. Because at that point in time, if he had let everybody know, of course, what was being planned, he would have leaked to the people who were planning to kill Paul, and they would probably have changed their plans and would have done something another time when nobody would have been aware of what was going on. But God did it in a way that the nephew could talk to the guard. The guard was filled with God's wisdom. So don't, you know, God can use anyone. Whether they are believers or not, that is the creator of the ends of the earth. Is he not the one that made everyone? So he can use anyone. So don't think it's only believers that God can use. God can use Boris Johnson. That's why we must continue to pray for him, for those in authority. God will use anyone, everyone. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all those that are in it. So God used that guard to be wise, not to expose what was going on. So he kept it quiet. And then they did what they did, and Paul's life was saved because God had a purpose for Paul's life. I don't want to go into purpose tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Hallelujah. So, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So that's why I said when we're praying tonight, don't let your focus be on someone, on a human being. That human being is not your problem, okay? The human being is not your problem. It's the enemy that's inhabiting that human being. That's the problem. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle, this is NIV. No, I don't like it. Sorry. Let me go to KJV. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So there are principalities, there are powers, there are rulers of the darkness of this world. That spiritual wicked. So they have hierarchy, okay? There's hierarchy in the devil's kingdom. And that is why I want to submit to you tonight that Satan is not omnipotent. Neither is he omnipresent. He cannot be everywhere at the same time. It's only God that has that ability, okay? The reason why Satan attacks everywhere is because of this hierarchy. There are principalities. They have their own job. There are powers, there are rulers of the darkness of this world, and there are spiritual wickedness in high places. Those guys that decided to attack Paul, that is spiritual wickedness. Because they wanted, their aim was just to kill him so that the spread of the gospel through Paul would stop. That was it. That was the aim. So we're going to stand up tonight. We're going to rise up as we begin to pray. We've asked for strength. If you are weak tonight, ask God for strength. Once again, let him release his strength upon you right now, because we have come to fight. And when you are fighting, you don't sit down. When you are fighting, you don't keep quiet. If you are okay with the way you are, fine, you can sit down. But I am not okay with the way I am. I am angry with Satan. And we're not backing off. We're not running away. We're going to confront him, because greater is he that is in us. Do not be afraid of Satan. If you have Jesus inside of you, the Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I want us to come against every spirit in this place that is not of Jehovah right now. We come against principalities and powers. We come against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Every spiritual wickedness that is going on, we come against you. We pull you down, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In the name of Jesus, in the name that is above every other name, we come against every principality, every principality working against Love Assembly. We come against you tonight in the name of Jesus. We render you powerless by the blood of Jesus. We declare. Shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So in the name of Jesus, we command you to bow. Every spiritual wickedness, we command you to bow. We command you to stop your work. Stop your work in our lives in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. You are going to command every spiritual wickedness to stop its work in your life. Listen. My brothers and my sisters, This next statement I make might be controversial, but I'll land. Let me land before you crucify me. Being born again sometimes is not enough. Are you listening to me? Because there are things that have been done in your family before you were born that you were not even aware of. The father has eaten sour grapes. The teeth of the children are set on edge. It was not your fault. You did not know about it. You did not know when your forefather did what they did. But you just see that there's a pattern in your family that men don't stay with their wives, that women take a long time to get married, that it takes men a long time to make it in your family, that the first son or the first daughter always has to struggle. It is not normal. There are spiritual wickedness that have said things. There are spiritual wickedness that have done things. Our forefathers have gone and made covenants that we were not even aware of, that were made thousands of years before you were born. When you get born again, my brother and my sister, it's your spirit that gets born again. Your blood still belongs to another family. You have to tell Jesus to infuse his blood with your blood, to cut you off from your bloodline. In Jesus' name we have prayed. I'm not just talking theory. When I got born again, I discovered that my family needed prayers. I discovered a pattern in my maternal family from my mother's side. And I began to pray. And I said to Jesus, I said, Lord, I cut myself from this bloodline. I cut myself and I infused myself into the bloodline of Jesus. From tonight, it's the blood of Jesus that runs through me, not the blood of that family. Because as long as the blood of that family runs through me, then whatever nonsense happens in that family continues to happen to me. If you are married into another family as well, you have to pray. So tonight, come against spiritual wickedness. There are spiritual wickedness. Anything that I might have been done, anything that I might be said in the air, whatever covenant has been made, every altar that has been built in generations that has nothing to do with you, but that is affecting you right now, pull them down. We pull them down. Joshua and Joshua, I come against this in the love of my life. In the name of Jesus, the Bible says this is the soul that sins that shall die. I have not sinned. Whatever has been done that is affecting me right now, I plead for mercy by the blood. In Jesus' name we have prayed. In Romans chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. Romans chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. For he said to Moses, and he there was God, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that sheweth mercy. Have you not seen people? They just do a little thing and it just works. They just do a little thing and it works. And you are there, you do the same thing and you are struggling. It's an issue of mercy. It's an issue of, God said, is it not amazing? He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So I want you to ask for God's mercy tonight. We just say, Lord, have mercy on me. Till you get tired of saying it. Have mercy on me, O Lord. 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 Lord, I plead for your mercy in every area of my life. Jehovah, have mercy on me. Concerning my health, have mercy on me. Concerning my body, have mercy on me. Concerning the work of the ministry, O God, have mercy on me. Concerning my relationship with you, have mercy on me. Concerning my children, my husband, have mercy, O Lord. Concerning, O God, my career, have mercy. Concerning my finances, have mercy. Concerning this United Kingdom, have mercy on us as a nation. Have mercy on us in Love Assembly. Have mercy, O Lord. Have mercy on me. Show me your mercy. Show me your compassion. Show me your mercy.
Your mercy in this area of my life. Have mercy upon me. Have mercy. Your mercy matters. When God's mercy is released upon you, then things become easy. When God's mercy is released, then you don't have to struggle anymore, because it is not about him that runs. It is not about him that is running. It is not about him that is running. It's not because you can work hard. It's not because you can speak English. It is because God has decided to have mercy. Father, have mercy upon me, O God. In the name of Jesus. I don't want to shout. Please put my mic up. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Can we open our Bibles to Psalm 46? Psalm 46. We're going to read it together. So grab your Bible, your phones, whatever your device you're going to use. We're going to read Psalm 46. I find this scripture so comforting. Psalm 46 from verse, I think he has 11 verses. So are we ready? So verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Are we ready? One to go. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Praise the Lord. So you are going to say, God is my refuge and strength, okay? So can we start it again? God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. I shall not be moved. God shall help me, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with me. The God of Jacob is my refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with me. The God of Jacob is my refuge. Hallelujah. Can you begin to thank God? Because verse 1 says, God is a very present help in the time of trouble. I don't know the trouble that you are in right now, but God is there. If you've not, in Jesus' name, we have given thanks. Right. This is how we're going to pray. We're going to pray that, God, this is the trouble that I am in. You know, we invite God into good places, but the Bible makes us to understand that God is a very present help, okay, in times of trouble. So tonight you are going to invite God into that trouble. If you've not invited God into that trouble before tonight, you are going to invite him. And in scripture, the Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. So you are going to say, Father, I am in trouble. This is the trouble. And I'm inviting you to this trouble tonight. Through this trouble, Lord, hold me, help me, make me strong. Let me pass through it with grace, and let me come out with strength on the other side. Can you begin to invite God into that trouble? I don't know the trouble that you are going in right now. It's against some of our, whatever it's called, you know, some of the things we believe in, but the Bible cannot lie. The Bible says God is a very present help. So you know that trouble that you are in right now. Ask God, Lord, I invite you into this trouble of my life from tonight. God knows the way out of that trouble. God knows what you need to do. God knows the things you need to start doing, the things you need to stop doing. He knows how to give grace. The Bible says it gives grace to the humble. So invite him into that trouble tonight in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Some of us are not getting it. Let me explain myself. Okay, for example, you are believing God for a job, and you've been applying and applying and applying,
and nothing is happening, that is trouble. Because you have to have a job. You've got to pay your bills. You've got to do whatever you need to do. So you are just going to say, Lord, I invite you into this trouble of not having a job. Father, have mercy on me. Because he said he will have mercy on me when we have mercy. When God is in the midst of that trouble, number one, he will give you grace till the end of it. He will strengthen you. He will give you instructions that will get you out of that trouble. Because God and trouble cannot dwell in the same house. It's not possible. So when there is trouble, okay, and then you invite God into that trouble, what's going to happen is that trouble will give way. Because the Bible makes me to understand that mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. So when Jehovah steps into a trouble, the trouble has to move back. Because Jehovah and trouble cannot stay in the same house. Hallelujah. So you are going to ask God tonight, Lord, this is the trouble. I invite you into it. When you invite God into your trouble, then what that means is that trouble is going to cease. So can we go ahead and begin to pray? If you need space, just move. Just move. If you don't want your neighbor to hear your trouble, it is fine. It is okay. Just move and say, Lord, this is the trouble that I'm in right now. As of today, 24th of October, 2019, Lord, I call upon you. Deliver me from this trouble. I invite you into this trouble because I know that when you are in this trouble, the Bible says you will help me. You are a very present help. God is a very present help. He's very, very present. That is present continuous. That means that he's not going to leave. He's always going to stay. Until that trouble makes way. Because trouble and Jehovah cannot stay in the same place. Father, Lord, I thank you for delivering me from financial troubles. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for delivering me from health troubles. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for delivering me from emotional, mental troubles. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for delivering me from the trouble of looking for what to eat. Thank you, Lord, for delivering us from immigrational troubles. Thank you, Lord, for delivering love as from the trouble of moving from one venue to the other all the time. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us this city. Thank you, Lord, for releasing our own building in this city to us. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you all the glory, adoration, and praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 from verses 28 to 39. We might not read everything, but we'll just pick some verses out of it to pray. Romans chapter 8 from, did I say 28? Okay. Let's read them 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, but we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, from whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. 34. Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us. So verse 31 and 32, if you can focus on those two verses, please. 31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? My question is, why are we not getting these things?
Why do we have to pray for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years before we get these things? The answer was with what happened to Daniel. When Daniel, the Bible says, Daniel set his mind to pray. Okay? And then, at the point in time that Daniel set his mind to pray, the Bible says God had answered. But the prince of Persia, which is spiritual wickedness in heavenly places or a principality of power, whatever it is, the Bible says he withstood that prayer from being answered. You see, that is why we have to fight. And that is why we must not stop fighting. Am I saying Satan is more powerful than God? No. But there are some things that God will not do for you. He has already released it. So if somebody intercepted it on the way, if you want it, you will fight. And it was when Daniel was fighting that Michael now told him, Daniel and Michael are angels in the Bible. Michael now told him, if somebody knows what chapter of Daniel it is, because I don't want to be speaking as if I'm speaking Greek or I'm speaking fables or what I'm saying is not true. So Michael now told him and said, just shout it out, please, if you find the chapter. Now told him that when the first day you prayed, God answered. Sorry. Daniel 10, 12. Thank you. Can we open to Daniel chapter 10, please? Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, and understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for to thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is from many days. So if you read it from verse 1, Daniel set himself, because at this point in time, the children of Israel were meant to have been released from captivity. And he had taken more. You know, God had given them that first. I think at this particular time when they were with the Babylonian Empire, it was meant to last for 70 years. But he had gone past that 70 years. So Daniel had an understanding of the times and the seasons, and he started seeking God. Now, why is it going past with the time? And that's why we must not stop, because you need to know what is going on. You need to know why the thing. It's not a sin to ask God what is going on. It is a sin to murmur. Okay? It's not a sin to know, why am I not married? Why is this happening to me? What is going on, Lord? I want to know. And that's what Daniel sought himself to do in verse 10 of Daniel, of the book of Daniel. And he was there. First day, second day, third day, fourth day. If you read it, the 420th day of the first month, that's in verse 4. As I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. So God was showing him some things. He was seeing a vision. And God, in verse 8, he said, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. So at that point in time, you know, after some time, you are getting weak. You're getting weary because nothing is actually happening. But you know, God had mercy, like we had prayed before, and Daniel prayed, and what's the name? Michael. There was Michael, and what's the name of the other one? There's Michael. Sorry? What's the name of the other angel? Gabriel. So I perceive, because what normally happens, if you read the scriptures, you see that at every point in time, when there's a good news, it's always Gabriel. But when there's fighting involved, it is Michael. So there are vessels in the hands of God. Angels are not meant to be worshipped, okay? In fact, the Bible says we will judge angels, which I find very scary. If you are going to judge them, wow. Then we must live very holy lives if we are going to judge angels. Anyway, let's leave that. So at this point in time, I believe it is Gabriel that was speaking here, that the first day you prayed, God heard, and I was bringing the answer to you. But as I was on my way, one of the princes of Persia stopped me. It's just a symbol. For we wrestle not against principalities and power. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So the prince of Persia was a principality or a power or spiritual wickedness, whatever it was. And because it withstood Daniel for 21 days, the prayer could not go. The prayers could not be answered. Daniel was wondering what was happening. He was getting frustrated as to why things were not happening. Until Michael had to come. In verse 13. So it was after Michael came and did whatever he did, whatever is known to do. And then that was when Gabriel could move freely. Where am I going? Where I'm going is that there are some times that we need to, spiritual warfare is very, very real. And if you don't believe in spiritual warfare, wow, then I don't know. But what I just want to say is that we need to pray, and we need to continue to pray. There are some demons that have been sent on assignment. This is not to scare anybody. It's reality. That's what's going on. There are demons that have been sent to destabilize your life, to make sure you are not what God has created you to be, so you cannot keep quiet. You don't beg the devil. No. It is unscriptural. You cannot beg Satan. You confront him, not with your own name, but in the name that is above every other name, in the name of Jesus. So that's how we confront Satan. So we're going to pray tonight. As we continue to pray, of course, we've been praying. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. You know, because sometimes if you see me, the way I pray is because of what has happened to me. It is because of the things that I've seen. It's because of the things that I'm seeing. It's because of the things that I'm experiencing. It's because of the things that I can see. If you can see into the spiritual realm, everything that you see that happens in the physical, right, has already happened in the spiritual. If you watch all these Nollywood movies, as much as sometimes they are exaggerated and I don't have time for them, but sometimes you see people speaking, don't they? They speak into the air. They say words. And they are speaking into the air. Those words are coming to pass. You to speak your own. Speak the word of God. That's why you must not keep quiet. That's why you must not allow the enemy to shut your mouth. The word of God must be in your mouth day and night. According to Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, you must meditate upon it day and night. Meditation means you are thinking about it. Meditation not only means thinking. Meditation almost also means as you're thinking about it, you are practicing it. You are saying it. You are saying it. You are saying it. You know, they will be saying something. You too will say, no weapon that is formed or fashioned against me shall prosper. I am a child of God. My children are blessed. My home is blessed. You know, you will begin to say words. Words have been spoken into the atmosphere against your generation from before your forefathers were born. For you to counteract those words that have been spoken, you have to counteract them with the word of life, which comes from the word of God, which is Jesus Christ himself. So if you do not counteract, you cannot counteract it with your own words. Satan is not afraid of you, but Satan is afraid of that word that comes from Jesus, because Jesus has a name that is higher than any other name. The Bible says that the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So I want you to confront Satan in your life tonight. Confront him in your marriage, in the lives of your children. They have told you in school that your children cannot do. Verse 17. Okay, so let's start from verse 13. Apart from some books of the Bible in the New Testament, Isaiah is one of my favorite books because there are so many prayer points in Isaiah. It is amazing. You know, amazing. Isaiah chapter 54 verse 13 says, this is one of the prayers I pray for my children and I still pray. It says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. So if they've told you in school, oh, this is wrong with your child, this and that, no, do not accept it. That is what they have said. The Bible says, great shall be the peace of your children. So in whatever area that your child or your children are not doing well, great is their peace. Decree the peace of the Lord upon them. Verse 14, in righteousness shall I be established. I shall be far from oppression, for I will not fear, and from terror it shall not come near me. Verse 15, behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. So you are going to pray, first of all, we're going to pray for every child that is in Love Assembly. You yourself, you are a child. Me, I'm still a child of God. So we're going to pray for the peace of God right now. Let's pray for the peace. Some of our children are troubled, but we don't know why. They are behaving the way they are behaving, but we don't understand. So we're going to pray for peace upon all of us tonight. Peace upon our children in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, great shall be the peace of our children. I decree peace upon you, Noah Aluafonomi. I decree peace upon you, Joshua Aluafonomi. I decree peace upon my husband. I decree the peace of the Lord upon myself. We decree peace upon every one of us in Love Assembly in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your peace. And finally, verse 17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. So you are going to pray right now and decree that no weapon formed or fashioned against you, no matter where it's been formed, no matter who has formed it, no weapon formed or fashioned against you shall prosper. No weapon formed or fashioned against your home shall prosper. No weapon formed or fashioned against your marriage shall prosper. Father, we decree tonight that no weapon formed or fashioned against Love Assembly shall prosper. In the name of Jesus, we frustrate every weapon of the enemy. Lekerebo shataya karaba shataya. Wherever the enemy, whatever the weapon is, we come against it in the name of Jesus. We come against it in the name of Jesus. I decree that no weapon formed or fashioned against my husband, my home, my marriage, my husband's health, my children's health, my own health shall prosper. In the name of Jesus, every tongue that rises up against me right now, I condemn in the name of Jesus. I condemn every tongue that has risen against me. Every gathering against me, against my home, against my husband, in the name of Jesus, I frustrate every counsel of the devil. Whatever has been planned, wherever it's been planned, let the fresh fire of Jehovah go into the midst of the enemy and destroy every camp of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, every imagination of Satan, I put down against my life. I am a child of God. It is well with my health. It is well with my home and my marriage. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Let's just go into a time of thanksgiving. The Bible says this is the confidence that we have in Him. When we pray according to His will, He hears us. And not that He only hears us, but He also grants us the petitions that we have desired of Him. Lord, we have prayed. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us, helping our infirmities, helping us to pray according to the heart and mind and the perfect will of God. And Father, we thank you. There shall be no delay. There shall be no hindrance. But Lord, we decree right now that as you have given us angels who are ministering spirits sent forth to minister on behalf of those who are heirs of salvation, we say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let there be a release of angels. Let them begin to bring forth and bring into physical manifestation everything we have asked. And Father, thank you for no demon, no principality, no power shall withstand our answers in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory, we give you all the praise, we give you adoration. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Blessed be your name forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray.